Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host, and we're brought to you today by North State Consultants. Their number is 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. If you'd like to sponsor the show, please feel free to call us at 530-221-0101 and talk to Linda if you'd like to throw some money our way, because we can use all the money that
That's
we can get.
That's right.
That's right, and we're not going to take go to Vegas with it. At least not right
not
away.
Yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so today is October 20th, 2012, and again, this is Mark Kent, and I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, and Rachel, our new trusted, not a new, she's our old trusted, well, she's not old.
Well, every day I'm
She's
new.
Our trusted.
she's and so our, am I.
She's our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal. We also have in the studio Elizabeth Betancourt today, and we're talking about Prop 37. How are you this morning, Elizabeth?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Mark.
Very good. Very good. Okay, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. If you are listening, go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in to 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast as well, so if you missed the show, you can go back into the websites. That's the other website would be sovereignminds.ning. That's ning.com. Say that five times fast. Yeah. Shave a cedar, shingle thin. And so there we have it. And so do we have any thing at the thing? Okay,
yeah,
any more coffee?
Yeah, we do have
coffee. Okay, well, you got anything? What?
So you didn't know what you were in for, Elizabeth, this morning.
That one had a brain scan. You didn't find nothing. So
yeah, I just want to remind everybody about the North Valley Stand Down for the veterans that is coming from the October 25th through the 28th, and it's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. They'll have a lot of services, food, you name it. They'll have it down there for them, dentists, you know, haircuts, clean them up. They're even having a pet place for them to take their pets. And
they have a dentist?
Dentist.
Not a dentist?
Yeah.
Oh,
dentist.
I thought you were talking about Dennis Miller there for a second. Hey, no. Dennis is going to be down there. Oh, all right, cool.
Not quite.
Okay.
You never know.
You never
so anyway, and the Rabba will be doing free transportation for the veterans down there, so that's great. I don't have the schedule, but I'll see if I can get it and get it posted on the website.
All right, very good. Do we have any thing going on at the Tea Party on Monday?
Monday will be the debate. Presidential debate, the third one.
Well, I got a good joke. I'm going to let it go, though.
Yeah, you better be careful. Be careful. Remember, that's a Destiny Fellowship.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see Rachel's got her hand over the button.
Yep, she's ready to go.
I see the evil in his eyes.
So that's what will be happening at 6 p.m. at the Reading Tea Party.
Okay, very good. And let's see. So let's do our first quote. That would be, the more corrupt the state, the more numerous the laws. That's interesting. That's from Tacitus, from the Annals, and I say, the Annals.
Be careful, Rachel, get the button.
Of Imperial Rome.
Boy.
Yeah, there's a play on words there, the Annals of Rome.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, let's see, nothing on the prostitutes, the press. And, okay, so I think what we're going to do is just start right into our program here and start talking about Proposition 37, because there seems to be some confusion on what Prop 37 will do and how we'll do it. And we have a caller on the line, Pam. And So let's get to Pam and see what she has to say this morning. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Oh, the fun never stops. It just goes on and on and on.
Hey, you know, I hear you. I hear you. It's been real fun out there lately.
Yeah, if you're an attorney or a deviant book reader or something.
Yeah.
All these laws and stuff, just trying to keep up with this stuff. It's insane. And, you know, that's what we wanted to talk about is that I'm kind of on the fence on Prop 37 at this point because – do I think we need GMO labeling? Absolutely. Do I trust the guys who wrote the law? Not really, because I don't know them. Do I trust the fact that the Republican Party has recommended, well, not the Republican Party itself, but the, I forget what I had the paper here. They passed it out to Tea Party saying vote no on Prop 37. I don't trust them either because of the fact that the labeling doesn't cover everything like meat and foreign products and that type of thing. So I don't trust anybody. And to read the law.
A wise man. I hear a wise man on the other end of this phone.
thank you. I try. A little more coffee and the wiser I get. But, you know, it's hard to know what to do here because we want to protect our food. We want to protect our businesses. You know, when Monsanto's backing all the commercials on TV, that sends up a red flag for me immediately. Let's see if Monsanto wants this not to pass. I might vote for it just on that fact. So, what do you got to say about this, Pam? Can you enlighten us and help us out here and clarify the situation at all?
You bet. Well, you know, what's real helpful for me is if you ask me specific questions and then I can answer them for you so that I'm not talking about stuff you don't care to hear. Okay. And I answer the questions you've got.
Okay. That wasn't a specific enough question. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, there's a lot, you know, as in anything in life, you know.
I'm kidding. Let's address the foreign products coming in that don't need to be labeled to start with, and why is that not in the bill? Why are we going to exempt, you know, Japan and Outer Mongolia from sending their products to us without having the GMO labels? What's up with that?
Well, actually, that's a lie.
Oh.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, there you have it.
I'm completely shocked.
Yeah. Okay, that being said, okay, whenever you write a law, you have to consider not only your little state, but you have to consider your country, and you have to consider the international laws. So there are some countries, actually there are 61 of them now, around the world that label their genetically engineered foods already. Okay? So those countries, we would have to honor their labels. Do you see what I'm saying? If that country labels their genetically engineered foods, we have to honor their law.
Okay.
So there you go. If something's produced in, I don't know what country doesn't, but if it's produced in a country that does not, you know, label genetically engineered foods, you know, then we don't have to honor their laws because they don't have any laws, but all countries, no matter whether they label or not, if they have stuff here, then if we test it and it has genetically engineered stuff, they come under the same rules and regulations that anything else does. So it's a lie.
Okay. Well, you answered my question on the – because my next question was going to be, well, what if the Outer Mongolia sends us cans of stewed yak and they aren't GMO labeled, or they are GMO labeled, and we find out that they're, you know, they have they've been using GMO products or grain or whatever to feed their cattle. So you just answered that. Is the fact is that we can test all the products coming in, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And also the yak. Okay, and this will probably help with a few of the other exemptions if people are concerned about them. The yak. There are no genetically engineered yaks on the market. There are no genetically engineered cows on the market. There are no genetically engineered pigs on the market yet. There are no genetically engineered fish on the market yet, although salmon is up for deregulation and is one of the next things, and in fact we think they're actually holding off the deregulation of the salmon until after the election because we think if they do, you know, then it would help our law. So, you know, when you see the guy sitting there with, you know, the beef in the dog food would have to be labeled, but my steak wouldn't. First of all, that's a lie. Again, please. These people are liars. You know, the beef okay, so let's back up just a section. Like I said, cows are not, so steaks would not be labeled. I mean, cows are not genetically engineered, so steaks would not have to be labeled because they're not genetically engineered.
What about their what about their feed? As far as that, is there, if they're being fed, you know, GMO feed, that doesn't come into the equation at all?
It can't. Again, something that eats genetically engineered food, you know, is not the same as something that is genetically engineered. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see.
Like, one question we might want to ask ourselves is, do you think you're genetically engineered because you eat genetically engineered foods? Do you want to think of yourself that way?
My wife seems to think that.
Okay, that's a good one. But anyway, backing up a little bit, California law requires that ballot initiatives be only about one subject. Okay. So our legal team determined that at the end of the day, because this law will get challenged, because not only are they spending all this money now, but they will definitely fight it after we vote it in, okay, because they don't want us to have labels.
Right.
Because they know that people don't want their product. But our legal team decided that because there was that distinction, that it's something that eating genetically engineered food as opposed to is genetically engineered, that would be one of the ways that they would try to challenge the law. And that if they did that, which we figured they would, that it would probably lose in the courts because of that fine minutiae of a detail. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So we had to, with our first ballot initiative, focus on things that were themselves genetically engineered.
Okay, very good. Listen, Pam, we got to go to a break right now. So.
Sure.
All right, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Shasta County, this is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Three little words that will change your life forever. You have cancer. You also have choices. At Pace Cancer Center, we believe that the battle against cancer can be fought with a positive attitude, care, and excellent medicine. Dr. Pramila Danuka is a board-certified oncologist, and she is offering the highest level of care for cancer patients for over 10 years. At Pace, you'll discover why hundreds of local cancer survivors have chosen Pace Cancer Center for treatment. To learn more about your choices available at Pace Cancer Center, call 247-1425.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember, Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? You pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
We're back. We were just talking about yaks.
Not the coffee shop either.
Yeah, I was just mentioning that. Did you know that if you ate too much yak, you could yak? Ba-dum-bum-bum-tsh.
Okay.
Okay, I had to say it. You know, it was funny the first time. All right, we're back. Okay, let's talk some more about this labeling stuff. Are you there, Pam?
I am.
Very good, very good. Okay, I want to talk about, you know, I've got the opposition to Proposition 13 that was sent out in the mail.
37.
13. I'm still thinking taxes here. Proposition 37, thank you very much for that correction. From the California Taxpayer Protection Committee. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're talking about, like, soy milk would be labeled, but cow's milk would be exempt. You know, chicken, a pot pie from the grocery store would be labeled, but, you know, chicken would be exempt. And this kind of hits what we just talked about, dog food, tofu from soybeans. You know, so noodles made in China, I guess you can, you know, they're exempt. So
no, they're not.
So that's just an out-and-out lie.
Yes, it is. It's just everything on there. I mean, you want to go through them individually. Soy milk. I mean, their chart is really interesting to me because they pointed out as to why this is not a good law. But their chart gives us the exact reason why this law is so needed. Is because they have made such a mess of our food supply that nobody knows what's in any of it.
Mm. Well, that's a good point.
True.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know. And really, when you look at everything that they say, basically, anyway, so soy milk would have to be labeled because soybeans are genetically engineered.
Ah.
Milk would not have to be labeled because cows are not. Okay. Dog food would have to be labeled. I originally thought pet food wasn't even covered, but it turns out that since we come under the Sherman Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, that animal feed, dog food itself comes under that act, okay, or pet food. But the part in the dog food that would have to be labeled is the soy and the corn and the canola oil and the other kinds of fillers and stuff, not the meat. Because, again, meat is not genetically engineered yet on the market.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's go back to milk. I mean, you know, I actually drink nothing but raw milk at this point because I thought I was allergic to it for years and years and years because every time I drank it, I would, you know, pretty much die. And so I started drinking the raw milk, no side effects. So that's why I started getting on some of this food stuff is because, you know, it's one thing if somebody tells you something. It's another thing if you experience it personally.
Exactly.
And so why would we not, you know, be able to, is this something we need to do in the future on the cow's milk that they're putting stuff in the milk, the fillers, all that stuff? I mean, I guess, but that's not genetically engineered or modified. Is that what you're saying? I mean, because some of the cows, you know, it's not necessarily what the cows are eating as much as what are they putting in after it.
When they process it.
After they process it.
Again, anything, well, you know, minute. You know, we've got a lot of work to do in the food system.
Right.
You know, this is a first step. You know, we've got all sorts of stuff going in our food that we have no clue about. I mean, the whole pink slime thing was a real big eye-opener for a lot of people. This is kind of in the same category. You know, we haven't been talking about this. We haven't been, you know, we haven't been discussing it. I'm recommending a movie called Genetic Roulette. And it's by Jeffrey Smith, and I believe right now, Jeffrey spoke in Reading last night, and I believe right now it's online for free if you go to geneticroulettemovie.com or org or something like that. It has doctors and scientists on it talking about what's going on with the animals.
Okay.
And, you know, doctors talking about what happens when they're when they take their patients, their clients off of GMO diets, they all get better.
Isn't that interesting?
So
we've
got a lot of stuff going on in our, in our food supply, and our children are not healthy. We are not healthy. We are drugged. You know, we have colon problems that have risen along with these crops. We don't know specifically that, I'm sorry if you're hearing my grandson in the background there, early morning crying.
Not a problem.
We've got a lot of stuff going on that we have to take a look at, and this is one step in that direction.
Well, maybe we can get Jeffrey on the program at some point as well. I know you guys were speaking at Sequoia Middle School last night, and then I guess he had to go to Mount Shasta. But, I would maybe you can put a good word in for us at some point so we can get him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, it's this whole thing is disturbing at the least here, because if this is we're just now scratching the surface, I guess we do have to start someplace to get this thing going. And you know, maybe what we need to do is have a proposition on proposition lying, I guess. I mean, maybe, you know, if we decided that people who lied in their laws or their ballot initiative handouts, you know, spent 30 days in the stocks and you got to throw genetically modified apples or tomatoes
well,
up their head.
Yeah, really.
That would
well,
be
one
cool.
of the, a couple interesting things are going on. With some of the lies, you'll see in one of the flyers, I don't remember who put it out, but you'll see a man named Henry Miller there. And he claims he's from Stanford. Well, it turns out he is not affiliated. He's not a professor at Stanford. He is affiliated with some think tank that has a building at Stanford. Right? We complained to Stanford about that, and Stanford required that they take away the background of Stanford and also to remove the reference implying that he was from Stanford.
Yeah,
now, they've changed it somewhat. The other thing is we just filed a... some kind of a brief with the Department of Justice to, because it appears that they have been using the FDA logo and they misquoted the FDA. So we have filed a formal complaint. So the thing is, you know, I said to the, you know, our campaign consultant, you know, who's done this many times before, it's like, how can they do that? I mean, can't we do anything about, like, the beef will be labeled? I mean, that's just a bald-faced lie.
Wow.
And he said, no, in politics, it just you can lie. And I'm just like, seriously. You know, it's amazing to me. And what's also so amazing to me is that, you know, the initiative process was begun exactly for this, is if the people found that their legislators, and I will tell you that the Center for Food Safety and the California State Grange tried to get legislation through our legislature. They've tried to do cloning, which is not the same subject, but cloning is part of the genetically engineered process. But they tried to have cloning labeled, okay, because a lot of times we don't know it, but we're eating cloned meat, okay, if you buy from the grocery store. But that's a whole other topic. They also tried to specifically get a labeling initiative for genetically engineered foods. They started in, I believe, 2010, could not get anything going. They finally pared it down just to salmon. And then they found one assembly person who would introduce it, Assemblyman Huffman, and it was AB88, and it just, like this January or February, I believe, it finally died because it couldn't get out of the Appropriations Committee. This happens all over the country. We've now formed an alliance, and I believe it's up to 29 states as of this morning, of states that are, and Canada, is going to work with us too, because we've decided not to ignore, you know, lines, because Canada has the same problem we do, and to work with each other and support each other. This is about what the initiative process is for. When people find that their legislators aren't doing what we want them to do, then it's the right of the people of the United States to stand up and band together and do this. Now we're being fought by these mega international corporations that are lying, that are trying to steal away the election, never once mentioning the fact that the food is actually genetically engineered. They're trying to scare people with food costs, and in the 61 countries that have labeled, food costs have not gone up, even though in all of those countries, these same companies said that, you know, your food costs will grow exponentially. The news is food costs are going up. They are simply going up.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of factors there.
What?
There's a lot of factors in that, too. Is, you know,
there are. Yeah. There are. There's the drought. They're going to use the drought. They're going to use oil as examples. They're going to use all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And we've got to stop believing the lies of these very slick, highly paid PR firms. Monsanto itself, I read in one place years ago, had like 75 people just working on PR. And it's no wonder. They're getting sued all over the place.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is you know, I'm looking at this thing and you know, it says on the label or the flyer here, Prop 37's arbitrary and complicated labeling requirements don't make sense. And it says the backers of 37 claim it was simply informed consumers, but two-thirds of the food consumed by Californians would be exempt from its labeling requirements, and it's no coincidence that many of the food products exempted are sold by the promoters of Prop 37. How do you now? We're going to go to a break here, And we do have Henry on the line. And so we're going to come back and answer that. And then let's talk to Henry. And he might have a different point of view. And let's get his point of view. So we'll be right back.
And this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I got my eggs, I got my pancakes too. I've got my maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. White, the spots above the mirror don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. The number again is 244-7873.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with BNT Satellite. As you know, Glenn Beck is only on Dish. Don't call the 800 number. Please call us to set up your appointment. 244-1988. That's 244-1988. And thanks for keeping it local.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PBA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Reading area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
Can you smell it? That sweet, rich, woody smell. That smell that makes your taste buds tingle and your stomach flutter with excitement. That smell you smell is smoked. The best taste in barbecue. Brisket is here in a sliced pub roll for lunch or dinner. Only $7.50 with a choice of side. Or how about marinated riblets with a choice of side for only $6.50. All sides are made fresh with only the best ingredients. Smoked on Airport at Rancho. 365-2085. Smoked. Ribs, chicken, and killer sides.
Well, I came upon the child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, tell me, where are you going, Mr. Coleman? Said, I'm going down.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back here, and we've got a couple things we need to go through here. I guess I just asked the one question about the promoters of the Prop 37 are selling the products that will be exempted. Is that true?
No, they will also have to be labeled if they contain genetically engineered foods. The thing is that right now, in fact, you could look at it as opposite, because right now people buy those products because that's the only way that they know that there probably aren't any genetically engineered ingredients in them. Once the label is there, people won't have to just rely on their products.
Right.
They will have the trust and the safety that they'll know where they are and aren't. Now, why would that be a problem? If people are concerned, I mean, if genetically engineered foods are so wonderful, why is the label going to be a problem?
Yeah.
All they have to do is stick the label on them, and if people love them, people can buy more of them.
I can't see it being much more cost than, you know, putting calories and all that other stuff that we've already got on
there.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of people out there that think it's going to cost the farmers a lot more money, and
right.
So they're kind of waffling between voting yes or no because they don't want extra costs to come to our local farmers.
Okay.
Cost in what way?
I don't know. That's just one of the things they say that they believe that it's going to cost them in order to do the labeling for the GMOs.
Right, right. That's what they always say, and everybody gets all emotional around that. But then when you try to pin them down and say, what costs, they don't know.
Yeah, because we definitely want to protect our small farmers here.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's
of course
part,
we do. Of course we do. So, again, if your small farmer grows sugar beets, corn now, sweet corn or regular corn, canola, my brain's going brain. Soy, alfalfa, for human consumption. If he or she grows zucchini, crookneck squash, or Hawaiian papaya, they think it might be genetically engineered. All they have to do is slap a little label on it, and they're covered. It is not that big of a deal.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
You just put a label on it. If they're at the farmer's market, zucchini, 4 for $1, may be genetically engineered. Why is that going to increase their cost?
Hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, like an infinitesimal amount of ink. I mean, I don't understand what, you know, again, they're playing on emotions.
Right.
All right.
Listen,
playing on emotions.
Pam, how much longer can we keep you on the line here?
Just a little bit more.
Okay, because I want to get to the trial lawyers, but I also want to talk to Henry. So, Henry, if you're there, we need you to be quick with your question or your comment, and then we'll go to another part because we want to hit this trial lawyer, how it benefits them before Pam has to go. So, Henry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up, Henry? What's your question or comment?
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea, first of all, that you put all the political liars in prison. Although we have to set aside the state of Nevada to hold them.
I'm not sure Nevada's big enough at this point.
No, at any rate, I have a question for the lady there. What exactly is genetic engineering? For instance, if you had wild rice compared to domesticated rice, is that a case of domestic
GMO engineering? Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think we need a definition of that, and I'm not sure what it is.
Sure, sure. And it's very, very clearly spelled out in the initiative about what process they're talking about. And what they're talking about is, and I'm just using the layperson's term, I don't have the initiative right in front of me, but it's basically where they alter it in a laboratory where they extract the DNA or the RNA from one plant, animal, or species using chemicals they extract the DNA out and then they insert it into another plant, animal, and species,
well,
usually with a gene
that,
gun and
between,
with viruses and bacteria.
For instance, wild rice and domesticated rice?
I don't know the difference between the two. I mean, if it's a hybrid, it's not covered. At this point in life, mutagenesis is not covered, and that's often what is going on with rice.
It's very inefficient. For instance, to produce and harvest wild rice, which we can produce tons of regular rice, and wheat the same way. If you had a wheat product, the old original wild wheat, it took hours and hours and hours to get a bag of wheat. They finally came up with what they call Gaines 2, which is a very short, heavy-headed wheat, which produced lots more. I'm not saying one way or the other about your proposition. I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the definition right here in front of me, Article 6.6, California Right to Know Genetically Engineered Food Act. And what it says basically is the following definition shall apply only for the purpose of this article. Cultivated commercially, that means grown or raised by a person in the course of his business or trade. Enzyme, it maps it out. Genetically engineered means any food that is produced from an organism or organisms in which the genetic material has been changed through the application of vitro nucleic acid techniques. So there's a definition in there of what it is. So you have to kind of read it. We have to move on, though. And I think.
Well, I thank you for your time.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling in here.
Good question, Henry.
Henry.
Do we have to go to a break right now? Okay. So I want to hit this trial lawyer thing, okay, Pam? We've got Jim Wheaton, the trial lawyer who wrote Prop 37, is known
for... Why?
No sense of going any further. It's a gun deal.
We just did a button here that goes... instead of the smart button or the easy button, it's the lie button.
At least you didn't have to read the whole thing before she said it.
So that's the total lie. He didn't write the law?
No, he did not write the law. The law was written by, I don't know how up on this issue, Center for Food Safety. Have you ever heard of them?
Not really.
Okay, they're the folks that sue Monsanto and the U.S. government when they're not following their own laws. They're the folks that kept the sugar beet thing at bay for a while until, all that kind of stuff. So They're the ones that have been fighting for us with genetically engineered stuff to make sure that these things are thoroughly tested and stuff like that. They wrote it, and a man named Joe Sandler, who is a food safety lawyer out of, and he was in Washington, D.C. He was the lawyer for one of the people that was working on this, a company called Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap, who has donated to this campaign, who will, by the way, not be affected by this law at all because they make soap. They wrote it. Jim Wheaton was hired at the end of the process after the law had been written and revised numerous times. By the way, they wrote it, but there was a lot of input from farmers. One of our co-chair on there is Grant Lundberg, who is the co-chair of Lundberg Farms, a large rice-growing operation in my county, Butte County. So farmers helped write it. Manufacturers looked at it. Grocers looked at it. Distributors looked at it. Doctors, genetic engineers, again, it was a huge amount of people that went into writing this. And Jim Wheaton was hired at the end of the process because he, to be the proponent. That was it.
Okay, so maybe if I read a little more in the sentence, we can get another he's also known for shakedown lawsuits against businesses, including grocery stores, food producers. In fact, a previous measure he helped write has generated $500 million in legal fees and settlements over the past two decades.
Well, that one part I can't comment on. Okay. I don't know. I don't. I've got so much to do. I have not investigated Jim Wheaton. I don't know about all that. What I can tell you, though, is that our law is very different from Prop 65. And all the stuff you're hearing out there, again, are lies. This was crafted in a way that gives the business or anybody, they have to be notified ahead of time, quite the opposite of what is being said out there, the other lie. They have to be told, and they have 30 days to rectify anything, and nothing can happen. If the person who brings the complaint has done this under false pretenses, then they can get fined. I mean, there's just all sorts of ways that we took, I didn't participate in the writing because I used to say nobody would want me to be the author of this law because I don't know what I'm doing. But I watched and listened to these people try very, very hard to protect everybody in the chain because everybody that partook in the writing of it had a stake in it. You know what I mean? They didn't want to get screwed. Or through their industry.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the bottom of this paid for, who paid for this no on Prop 37, and that kind of sways my vote to voting for it. It's the Coalition Against the Deceptive Food Labeling Scheme, and it goes on to say sponsored by farmers, food producers, and grocers, major funding by Monsanto, DuPont, BASF, Dow AgroSciences, Bimbo. I like this one, Bimbo Bakeries. Does anybody know that there was a Bimbo Bakeries out there? Campbell Soup, Coca-Cola, Dole, Hormel, Kraus, McCormick, Ocean Spray, Pinnacle, Sara Lee, Sunny Delight. These are all pretty big companies.
Big
if I'm reading my proposition no form properly.
Big chemical pesticide companies, that have an investment in us not knowing what's in our food. And, if we don't know what's in our food, the market cannot operate as it should operate. Statistically, 53% of the people in the United States have said that if they knew there was genetic engineering in the food, they wouldn't want to eat it. In other countries, when people know, they don't want the product, and that's what these people are afraid of.
Yeah,
afraid of losing their patents, that their patent won't be as popular. They make a tremendous amount of money off of us, and because they're actually also patenting heirloom seeds. It's getting scary out there in our food supply, and if we want to maintain any kind of control over being able to have raw milk, look at all the troubles with raw milk that are going on.
Absolutely.
Look at all the problems. I'm hearing weird stuff about gardens being invaded, and some strange stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the happy kind, the happy gardens. I'm talking about food gardens. So I think that, I wish people would look a little bit further down, look at who's supporting this, who's opposing it. I began this last year, January of 2011. this was kept alive by parents, moms and dads, and concerned citizens and kids out there on the streets. I got to tell you, originally a lot of the people that are now on board didn't want to participate because they anticipated this and knew of the slick campaign that would be against us and how difficult this would be to get one because these people are have no ethics and they lie.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't want to participate because it's a lot of work and a lot of expense, but yet they saw that we, the people, were doing our best and they felt like they had to give back to the people that had been supporting them. That's why these people are participating. You know, it's not been an easy row, I got to tell you. And I just wish that the people who I so believe in would remember how powerful we are when we unite yeah. and don't believe the bullshit, I'm sorry, the bull that, you know, that's thrown at us. You know, anyway.
I think that was a...
I think we actually got the button on that
yeah,
one.
I've never seen Rachel move that fast before. I think...
I'm so sorry.
Hold on, I'm a trained professional.
That's right.
The first I've ever done that on the radio.
She's got a degree in Kempo censorship. So,
okay, I guess with that, we need to go to a break, and we'll pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that stop.
Hey, Linda, guess what's happening at Tobacco and Brew this month?
$3 all month for their special Double Dark Mocha. You can get it hot, iced, or blended.
And I understand that Tobacco and Brew is serving up organic coffee.
That's right, from Guatemala. It's organic coffee where you can get it bulk or by the pound.
That's right, and walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. They will meet or beat any tobacco prices in this town.
Come and check out the new wine, Smoking Loon, just $10.99 a bottle. It's a fabulous Chardonnay with a slight oak taste with hints of apple and mango. I love it.
And veterans get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. And if you want to go out and get that cup of coffee and sit down outside, they've got plenty of places to do that. Sit there with your friends.
Winners around the corner. Come in and get your coffee mugs now. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, across from C.R. Gibbs.
Hey, hon, hop in the truck. Let's head on down there.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Creating lasting memories right in your own backyard. Estate Granite Things can help you transform an ordinary patio into a place where your family and friends will want to share good times all throughout the year. From fire pit tables to complete outdoor barbecues, all with solid slab granite tops. Estate Granite Things can turn your backyard vision into a solid reality that will last for years. Let the experts at Estate Granite Things work with you to bring affordable elegance into your own outdoor space. Estate Granite Things. So call today at 241-STONE or visit us online at estategranite.com.
Wooden ships on the water, very free and easy. You know the way it's supposed to be. Silver on the shoreline, let us be talking about very free and easy.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460.
Yeah, if it only was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just kind of talking about about Rachel.
No, about life and deception?
Yeah, do the Bruce Lee thing. So
you do know I spend like 4 days a week at a dojo. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
What do they have, chocolate-covered dojos? Or
No, it's a Kempo dojo, so the kids dojo. Just beat me up, you know?
I thought you got maple bars at a dojo. So anyway, let's see. Where were we? We were talking about, let's feed the world, the breadbasket. That's the whole purpose of this GMO stuff is that, you know, the big line is, and I don't know if it's a line, but that's what we're hearing, is that, you know, what about feeding the world? I mean, that's why they've done this genetically modified engineering stuff, is that... you know, we want to be able to produce higher crop yields, drought resistance.
Take care of all the starving people.
You don't have to use pesticides because you got Roundup inside the stuff. So
right in the seed.
Right in the seed, and I guess you're round. I mean, Roundup and Roundsteak. What the heck? So you know, but the whole point is that.
But at the same time, we're poisoning everybody.
Well, is that true? I mean, that's the question for me. I just want to know the truth. I mean, you know, I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Give it to me straight. You know, that's my biggest thing here is I want to know, is that a fact or not? Is it a fact that these are bad or not? Is labeling going to solve the problem of knowing what is in my food or not? And so maybe you can answer that. Are you still on the line, Pam?
I am, and I'm going to have to go in just a couple minutes here, and I'll trust that Elizabeth can. Elizabeth's still here, yeah?
Yes, yeah. She is.
Yeah, you're going to have to hand off to her, you know.
Yeah, she's got some great stuff going on, but I would just encourage people to look a little bit more. There's the big drought that happened this year in the Midwest, a lot of the non-GMO corn made it because GMO corn sucks up a lot of water. There's a lot of promise and a lot of hype, and there's no results. So with that, I want to thank you so much for having me on, and I'm sure Elizabeth will let you know the URL and ways to get involved.
We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Pam.
Yep. Have a great day.
Okay.
All right, so the ball's in your court there, Elizabeth. Okay. You want to pick it up from there?
Right. Enjoying listening.
So
stay away from Rachel.
On the other side of the table.
Yeah, she has dragon tattoos on her forearm, yeah. So be careful.
One of the things Pam just mentioned was that the promise of GMOs has not come true. GMOs that have pesticide in them, in the corn, in the soybeans, have actually ended up using more pesticides because the weeds get to be super weeds and become very tolerant of what's sprayed on them. And so not only then do you have pesticide in the corn, but you have pesticide all over the field. You know, it's getting into other fields, organic neighbors, et cetera.
So it's getting saturated a lot more.
Absolutely. And it's not addressing the rights of organic farmers. I mean, one of the things we brought up was cross-contamination and, you know, the rights of organic farmers to grow what they want and keep their crops, you know, grow them the way that they want them and then get the price that they need to get to make right. that worthwhile is being infringed upon by the way this is done.
Hey, you know, I like pesticides in my food.
A little bit every morning.
A little pepper, a little Roundup. Hey, what the heck? So
I guess with that, we have a caller on the line. It's Ruth Angel. Are you there, Ruth?
I am.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
I'm always fascinated by your show because it does ask the questions. And we had Mark and I had an opportunity to talk about this issue last week. So I'm with you, Mark. I'm totally confused by this issue. I don't know if this proposition is the answer. I had an opportunity to talk to Jeffrey Smith on Friday, and he basically said that, you know, there are a lot of diseases and Parkinson's disease, intestinal disease, and what have you that are caused by these pesticides. And so the simple question that I asked him was, where is there any data? What are the increases in these diseases? And that seemed to me to be a simple question. And he said there were none. There's only the study that was done in France, a two-year study that was done, and the rats got tumors. And from an article I read, these rats were prone to tumors. So, you know, I'm trying to find the answer. And I think that I don't like the scare tactic. I want the facts. And
right.
So I don't know why it's really difficult to do some simple math and go back to the 90s to say per capita, you know, do we have Parkinson's disease? Is it the same rate or has it gone up by 20-50%? Who knows?
Can I answer?
So my question to the guest is, I know you don't have a bunch of time, is, you know, can you talk about some of the facts?
Yeah. So thank you, Ruth, for the question. I think that's really... important. Yeah, it's so yeah, there isn't data, and it's kind of weird because, you know, we can tell. I mean, folks who are older than me, my grandparents, have seen people getting sicker, and that's really right. The only data we have right now. We have data of doctors, chiropractors taking people off a GMO diet, saying only eat organic or food you produce yourself, your neighbors produce, and they improve in Crohn's disease, Parkinson's, et cetera. That is the only data we have right now. But I think what this proposition is saying is that we don't know right now.
Right.
That 1-2 year study is the longest study that has been done on GMOs. And Rachel and I were talking the other day. It's like, we live a lot longer than 2 years.
Really, 2 years, is, I think that's actually kind of remiss to only do that short of a study on a, you know, an organism that lives for almost 100 years. It's 2 years of a study. You can't find anything out. You need generational studies for, right. for real science
well,
to happen.
It seems, I'll tell you, it seems to me that that's neither here nor there. I don't see... until we establish a contact or the connection between the GMO and the effects that it has on a person's physique and body and so forth, I don't understand why that would be a stepping stone to prevent you from labeling it anyway. Mm-hmm. Is where I'm going, because the real deal is we should know what's in our food and
correct.
Then be able to make the choice for ourselves. And that's where I'm leaning towards voting yes on this, because I want to know what's in my food, and they can sort it all out later, but at least I have the choice now for what I believe, as opposed to not knowing what's in the food across the board. So it just seems to make sense to me from a common sense standpoint of why not label it anyway, and then,
right.
you know, you can figure it out as you go along, but if you don't even know you're eating it, that's another issue.
There's no way to tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the medical data that is available out there, we all know, is swayed because of the pharmaceuticals. So you can't get accurate data anyway on any of this because, again, you have to follow the money.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't see why it would be that much more to put a little label next to the one that says it's 100 calories that mm-hmm. goes, you know, GMO modified
well,
or whatever,
just,
you know.
You know, a star or something that yeah. says, you know, it's got GMOs in it, you know.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. That's why I'm really inclined. And then when
that's
I see
because we're thinking for ourselves here.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was supposed to be thinking again. You know, I mean, my thing is when I see who's backing this, and then I hear, you know, again, I don't know Pam from Adam at this point, but when I hear her say, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, you know, I'm starting to think, and then I'm seeing Monsanto, and I don't trust Monsanto as far as I can throw them at this point, and the big companies, because they've been burning us for quite some time yeah. on other issues. So,
well, like Elizabeth said during the break about Agent Orange and mm-hmm. stuff, it's the same companies mm-hmm. that were doing Agent Orange and all that.
DDT.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, folks, think about it.
Hey, I've been eating this stuff for mm-hmm. a long time. You know, I ain't seen no side effects. Yeah, what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess.
So like, there you go, folks. Do your homework.
And the answer for Ruth is, yes, we don't have data, but that's why we should label it. We need data. We
yeah.
need to know right now to protect ourselves.
Yeah,
our
we
life.
Need to right. find out if this stuff is really that bad for you or not. And mm-hmm. you're not going to do it till you get some step in the direction of at least starting to monitor it, I guess. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. yeah. But you can look out there and see there's a lot of things going on with people, a lot more illness. I mean, you know, what the connection is, not sure. But, yeah, there's a lot of different things.
More allergies.
More allergies,
weird.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still for prop whatever of, you know, the, put you in stocks and throw the genetically modified tomatoes at your
back
head.
To what
Can you tell the truth? Damn it, I want the truth.
Well, if it's not so bad, yeah, you eat it and let us know how that works for you.
I
yeah.
wonder what if they eat their products.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Do they feed them to their families?
Yeah, I'm sure the president of Monsanto, you know, he loves yeah. Roundup.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You know, a little cereal, a little Roundup, you know.
Right.
Little plastic milk in there, and it's all good, you know?
It's all good, man. What the heck?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Having more brain freezes these days than I'd like, but...
get off those GMOs.
We're running out of time. I know that Pam mentioned something about a website or something. Could you give
yeah.
that to the folks?
Yeah, for more information on the campaign, it's californiarighttoknow.org, carighttoknow.org. And my name is Elizabeth. I Betancourt. Thank you, Mark. I helped to organize the local campaign, and I can be reached at labelgmosreading @gmail.com or phone number 530-357-2321. More information.
We're podcasting. You can get this all information on the podcast, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, got anything to say?
No. Okay. Just, you know, get out there and get educated and get involved, folks.
You're born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is free. Is not reason. Is not eloquent. It is force. For force like fire is a servant and a fearful master.
And we'll see y'all next week. You have a great week.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. With two debates under their belts, President Obama and Mitt Romney are spending the weekend off the campaign trail to focus on the final showdown Monday night in Florida. Romney already in the Sunshine State preparing.
President Obama won't be seen either today or tomorrow. He's hunkered down at Camp David in Maryland doing some final debate preps. But yesterday, before he flew off to the presidential retreat, he told voters in Virginia, another swing state, that he needs more time to finish what he started.
Fox's Peter Ducey. With the men at the top of the tickets laying low, it'll be up to the number twos to campaign. Romney's running mate, Congressman Paul Ryan, is in Pennsylvania.
We are choosing the destiny and direction of this country for a generation.
Vice President Joe Biden will rally in St. Augustine, Florida, next hour. During the first two debates, domestic policy was highlighted, but round three will be different. Foreign affairs will dominate, and the terror attack in Libya that killed a U.S. ambassador